fell to his knees before her. Ithacana and its king bent to nothing and no one, but he bent for her. And today we are chatting about The Bridge Kingdom and The Traitor Queen by Danielle L. Jensen.
And I'm so excited!
That was greatness.
So in case you can't tell from my excitement alone, The Bridge Kingdom and The Traitor Queen duet is my first, like, my favorite duet, period. Like, period of all time. But it's in my top five, like, books, period, as well. I don't know where they rank on a top five, but they're in the top five. I read The Bridge Kingdom and The Traitor Queen initially on paper, in, like, I have them in paperback 2 years ago, and I think I've reread them each at least twice since then. And I, if you all don't know this about me, I don't typically reread much of anything because I don't know. I'm a weird reader, apparently. It's because so many of my friends reread, like, comfort reads, or, like, they don't know what to read, so they just pick up a book in, like, a random series, or, you know, or you know, a book in their favorite series. And I don't know. I'm just not that person. I also don't rewatch, like, seasons of things that I love. So, I'm just weird. But I reread this, like, at least twice and loved it every time.
How did you find it?
It was probably Book Talk, because it was one of the, not series, but, like, it was one of the duets that I read probably within the first 6 months of me reading books again.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with it.
And I completely understand why it's one of your favorites. So we read it for one of our book clubs, our PRN book club, and it was great. I'm trying to think. Normally we start off talking about things that we didn't like, and I don't really think that there was anything that I didn't like. The only thing that I can say, though, is that those fucking papers literally gave me nightmares. Those stupid...
Like, Misty literally boxered me the next morning, and she's like, I dreamed about those papers. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Like, every time I tried to change my dream to get away from those stupid papers, they would show up in whatever I was dreaming about, and they would just be there. And I'm like, just destroy the motherfuckers. It was almost like a ghost or like a poltergeist. Like, nope, you can't get rid of me that easy. Because I stopped that night, like, at 80%. And I was like, this is too much anxiety. I'm stressing the fuck out. I was super exhausted and I was tired. And I was like, I need to go to bed. And that's all that rotated in my dream was those motherfucking papers. And I kept on voxering Jen. I'm like, does she destroy the papers? Please tell me that no letter gets sent. Like, please tell me she stops this from happening. And spoilers, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. I will say that duet, I've never had anxiety the way that those books give me anxiety. Like, no dark romance, like, no chasing scene in any book. Like, nothing has given me anxiety the way those two books gave me anxiety.
A lot of anxiety and nightmares. And it's not even anything scary. That's the crazy thing. It's just fucking stationary.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. And the thing is, like, this is it may not be classified anymore, especially this series as she continued writing it. But at the very least, the first two, Bridge Kingdom and Traitor Queen, were classified as young adult. So, like, it's very little spice. There's no, like, intense war scenes or anything like that, but it's still, she did such an incredible job of weaving in, like, the political intrigue and leaving all of these Easter eggs along the way, where, like, are they going to, like, capture the bridge? Are they going to be able to pull it off? Like, how is she going to play a part in it? All of it is just, it was just so well done. Mm-hmm. So well done.
And I love that the main female character was an assassin. That seems to be, like, a trope, mm-hmm, that I really like in romantasy.
Yes.
Because it means that she's not a damsel in distress. Not that there's anything wrong with reading a damsel in distress. There kind of is because they're boring. But not always. Not always. We like our female leads to be strong, independent, and can take care of themselves. And if you can just happen to kick the ass of a whole bunch of men on a beach by slitting their throat with their own knives, like, that just is even better.
Yeah, I completely agree.
When was this written? Because is it possible that she wrote it before or right around it, the new adult trope was created? Because I feel like this is more new adult than young adult, just because of the mature content of fighting and, like you said, the espionage.
Espionage, that's a good word for it.
That's it.
Yeah, it... So, wow, I didn't realize it was that long ago. So The Bridge Kingdom was actually originally published October 16th of 2018.
Okay, so New Adult came around 2011, 2012.
Okay. And then The Traitor Queen didn't follow until September 1st, 2020. Man, if I had to wait that long between...
Absolutely not.
My mind.
That I can say with clarity, there are very few series in the world that have captured a piece of my soul and held on to it while waiting for it to be completed. And this would probably have been one of them because, and oh my Lord.
Absolutely.
I would probably still be having nightmares about those fucking papers.
Probably. Probably.
There's absolutely no way.
I didn't realize that the publication was so long in between books, which now knowing that, I see why the publication for the subsequent books has been so long. Because, I mean, it's been, I think, a year almost or longer between each book.
Well, to play devil's advocate, is taking so long because she's writing, like, two other things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she has multiple worlds and stories and... And I'm actually a little disappointed in myself. I haven't read anything else of hers because I loved this so much. But so was there anything in here that you didn't like in either book?
I honestly, just the papers. Literally.
Just the main thing that drives the plot forward for the entire book duet.
That stupid stationery, man. Just... That, and of course, like, you know, I didn't like her dad, but like everything made sense. I really, what happened to the magpie? Did he still live?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, he's still alive.
They need to kill him because I feel like he was, and I'm totally speculating because I haven't read the second duet, so bear with me. I feel like he is the reason why, like, the king. Not that the king wasn't evil and, like, didn't want the power and, like, all the things, but I just felt like he was the little birdie, like, chirping in his ear. Let's do this to get what you want. When secretly it's what he wanted. Now I'm going to have to read the second duet. Please tell me there is nothing in the second duet that has anything to do with fucking stationery.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Because as somebody who collects stationery, that was very traumatizing for me.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, there's nothing I can... She did...
You know what kind of pissed me off?
Okay, what pissed you off? No, that's okay. No, you go.
That the sisters were so mad at her for how she saved them.
That's a good...
Like, she did the best she could. Under the circumstances, and still managed to save all your asses, and you're still pissed. Now, granted, they all thought they were working towards, like, this incredible honor and, you know, all of that. So, like, they feel like she cheated them out of that when really she was actually saving their lives because she overheard, not the magpie. Was it magpie?
No, it was Eric. I think his name was Eric.
Okay, Eric. But who was he talking? Anyway, yeah, her favorite trainer, like, he kind of had her as his favorite. He was talking to somebody, and they're like, yeah, we're killing them all, except for the one that was
Mary Lynn.
Ithacana. Mary Lynn, yeah. Who's a twat.
Absolutely. I was really surprised. I didn't like that he slit his own throat. That bothered me.
Yeah, me too. But the, like, they all had to die. Like, that was the agreement, apparently, with Silas, was like, hey, we're going to have this assassin training camp. And then at the end of, you know, 10 years of training these women, you all have to die.
Which is really sad. Okay,
that sounds...
Which is really sad because Eric was probably aware that it was all a facade. He had to have been aware.
I don't think so. No.
You don't think that he didn't know that they were lying to the girls about what the Bridge Kingdom was doing to them?
Mm-mm. No. I feel like to have that level, to have somebody willingly kill themselves to serve the king, I don't think there's any way he could have known what was actually going on.
So he was just as oblivious as the girls.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's been isolated for the last 10 years just like they have.
That's true, but I thought I put him in like in his 40s, 30s or 40s. So he had to have some knowledge of the world, especially to be their trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, cuz I would have put him in his 30s or 40s.
And I wanted him to end up with one of the other sisters. Even though he was only on the page
for... Man, he really liked him. He was only there for like two chapters. Like,
I loved everybody, everything.
Yeah. No, and you're not wrong. I did really like Eric, but...
You know, like...
I've forgotten.
Thinking... I didn't even read the blurb for this book, so I literally went in blind. Thank the Lord, because I probably would have died even more and had more nightmares. But I totally went into a blind as I was reading. You know, you think of like the bodyguard trope where, you know... Not the savior, but she can also kick ass. I thought that would have been awesome for one of the sisters. But I agree with you. Them being mad at her and her reasonings, I felt were justified. She's like, I knew like 2 to 3 days beforehand. Absolutely. She's like, we would have argued about it and then nothing would have ever got done. And then somebody would have overheard and then it would have been for naught.
Right.
So
now, I'm a big Laura advocate.
Yeah.
I love Laura. She's amazing.
And so one of the things that we've talked about, listeners, which you've probably heard from like season one and will continue to hear, is that we don't like in a book where if one character betrays the other, that they give in so easily and forgive them. And in this duet, the author did a phenomenal job of, he's like, no, I'm not going to forgive you. Like, you betrayed my people. You betrayed your essential people because you're their queen after earning their trust and respect by helping saving them and like bandaging them up. And now people have lost families and like how they made her set and listen to everybody come say, hey, this is who died because of what you did. And then the way that they allowed her to have, is redemption the right word? Yeah. Redemption at the end was, I think, just great. They have a tradition that we put you in the water, and if the sharks don't eat you, you're not a traitor no more. And the fact that that happened at the end and everybody who was of high level importance saw it was just like, okay.
I don't think there was any other way for her to be redeemed in the people of Ithacana's eyes. Like, there's nothing she could have said. There's no explanation that she could have given. Like, nothing else would have worked. And honestly, and it's not unrightfully so. Mm-hmm. I mean, she made the decision to no longer betray them. But because of the choices she made prior to destroying the stationery, like, it still ended up happening.
Yeah.
And I always love it when the woman doesn't like jump right back into bed with the guy. But I struggled with how much Aaron like hated not only her, but hated himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he was. And you'll have to tell me if this is more the inadequate heir or if it's the traitor queen, because I could get it mixed up. But like when he's being held prisoner by Silas, he has moments of like wanting to just end it, because at that point his people are trying to rescue him and they are literally being tortured in front of him. So to like have to go through that And then have her be the one that ends up rescuing him and getting, like, him back to his rightful place. Like, on one hand, I almost, you know, I probably, depending on how Danielle would have written it, I probably would have been okay with them not getting back together, because that's so much trauma. But on the other hand, like, that's your person. And she never did it intent. Like, it wasn't, once she realized what she was trained to do and what Ithakana was actually like, her entire philosophy changed. And I wish that he would have had that conversation sooner rather than
the very end.
The very, very end. Now, again, kind of flipping back, he also is a king and had to go back to his, like, there was no realm where he would leave his people or his kingdom. You know, and I don't think that, I think he knew, not like, maybe he could forgive her, but there was no way his people could forgive her. And that was too tough for him.
So to play off of that, I think one of the ways that she could have helped redeem herself before they found out about the betrayal is she could have pointed out all the weak spots that she sent that information to her dad. If she would have done that and saying, hey, I see this. This is a potential weak spot. What can we do to reinforce it? She could have went and cleaned her blood off of the door so that the door wasn't marked. Like, there are other little things that she could have done to help stop them from following through on what she sent, even though she destroyed the papers. But her thought process was out of sight, out of mind. I destroyed the papers. Everything's fine. I still think that for somebody who was as paranoid or how she grew up, she gave in a little too easy, maybe, and just, but she should have been like, no, if I can see it, then maybe somebody else will see it. And now that I've chosen to be on the side, you know, this side, we need to make sure that that doesn't happen. So I feel like that could have been one thing. You talking about him, like, choosing his kingdom over her. I really wanted him to choose her over the kingdom, because this is that's that fine line of, like, the hero's journey versus, like, you know, I say in quotations, like, the bad guy getting his girl. Like, I really wanted that as another, like,
option almost.
Yeah. I wanted that as another option of, as he's battling himself, because that does happen in the second book, and thinking that he's not good enough because he let this happen, but knowing that that's his person, that he, instead of committing suicide, which obviously he doesn't, be like, he could go to his people and be like, I don't think that I'm good enough to lead you now because this is my person. And so I cannot choose between the two, and I'm choosing her. So then maybe his sister or somebody else could write. And then they're like, no, you've been, like, the best king. We will never trust her, but we accept her as your person. And maybe she doesn't have the title of queen. Maybe she has the title of, like, consort or something, even though they're married, like, whatever. I would have liked that as more of a tension thing between them two, you know, him struggling and possibly her struggling with that. I think that would have been really good. I also wish that they had the masks a little bit more. Like, at the wedding where they're wearing the mask, and I thought the way that they found out who he was because of a scar on his hand, that was ridiculous. Okay, so going back to the beginning of things that I didn't like, that was really minor, and, like, really, because I don't remember, but I might have to go back. I don't ever remember her talking about there being a scar on his hand. And it's raining and it's a storm. So how the fuck can the magpie see his hand from that far away to know that he has a scar on his hand, to know that when he comes to their Venetia village or whatever, that they know that it's him? I didn't like that. But anyways, I was like, that was really genius idea of his past generations to come up to hide, you know, another way to hide their identity protection so they can't get kidnapped when they're out in other villages or kingdoms to try and get the knowledge that they need. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about the mask thing.
So, and this definitely fits the romantasy vibes. It has there was no magic, but the world that was built, you know, the character setting, like, we were talking about the espionage, like, all the things. I feel like it's a romanticy.
I was curious. You know, that's one thing that I've struggled with this series is like where it lands, because like there's no magic, there's no like beings other than humans. Like Becky, who's in our book club, she was like, I kept expecting someone to be a vampire. And you know, if you go into this with fantasy in mind, I can totally see where you're like, okay, who's a shifter? Like, what is happening? So I struggle with classifying this as fantasy.
Okay.
But I feel like romance doesn't do it justice either. Mm-mm. So then it just kind of lands in, I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with calling it romanticy. I don't know. So I don't know if it's lumped into fantasy because it has like espionage, an assassin, maybe it's the assassin aspect.
But you have to remember in the romanticy episode we talked about or added that if the city is created and it's not modernized, then that could make it classify as fantasy or romanticy because this is a new world.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so if that is the case, then I completely agree that this is romanticy. And leaning heavier on the fantasy part than the romance. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you really, the relationship develops, but it's the plot that drives the duet. Also, can we just say how excited I was that she was the one that got to kill her dad?
Oh, that was, yeah. That was
that was so good.
That was, if anybody else had killed her, I don't think her redemption arc would have been as accepted. Yeah. She had to literally sacrifice herself in the process for them to even consider acknowledging it. And then their thing with the sharks just sweetened the pot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, not only like did she fall into the shark infested waters, she was stabbed. So she's bleeding. She's really bleeding out. Mm-hmm. At that point, and she's watching every single other person in that water be taken by the sharks. Every single one. And then she finally makes it to the portcullis, and Aaron's like, all right, this is my girl, and I'm saving her ass, so somebody help me. That was so good!
It was really good. And I would say this falls more on, no, I can't say that, because sex does not make romance.
No. And I mean, and it's not, you know what? Okay. It pissed me off that he had sex with her.
And then left her
at that place. And then left her there.
I thought that was
great. Heated. No! You're going to have to turn my volume down.
No, it's okay.
I'm so mad right now. No, that was so not okay. Like, here's the thing. She already knows that this is not going to be a long-term thing. So just tell her. Like, listen, I want to fuck you one more time and then I'm out. And she probably would have been like, okay, I understand. No, he had to, like, stitch her up, then have sex with her, and then be like, peace out.
Well, it technically wasn't he didn't plan on leaving her to begin with. It was when I don't even remember his friend's name.
Oh, man, I love him, though.
That's the one name that doesn't stand out.
Jed, it's a J. J, it's a J.
Dalek.
Not Jethro.
Jericho?
We're all over it.
Might be all over him, too, but.
Mm-hmm. I wish he would have a book. Because I'd read that book.
It was his idea. He's the one who was like, hey, you know, eventually you're going to have to do it. You might as well do it now, especially because she was injured. He could have at least left a note. Yeah. But I was okay with that.
Exactly. Yeah, I was not at all. I was pissed.
You know, if we want to talk about, well, no, if we're going to talk about things being pissed about, she worked really hard to show and prove herself to him. And I guess him saving her was his way of balancing that. But you could almost say that it wasn't balanced. Not that he had anything to prove to her, but he hurt her emotionally quite a bit, which I loved because angst whore here. Hello.
Jor.
Jor. J-O-R.
Yeah. Jor. Yep. No, I mean, it definitely wasn't balanced. But I feel like in my opinion, like, I feel like it's okay that he takes longer to kind of tip the scales, because, I mean, at the end of the day, she did still betray these people.
Very true.
You know, and I think, and did you read The Calm Before the Storm?
No.
You see it at the end of Traitor Queen, where he, you know, he's like, this is my wife, this is my queen. Like, y'all are just going to have to deal with it. Like, the sharks didn't eat her. That is the tradition. She is no longer a traitor. So I feel like that stand helps tip the scales enough that they can, like, go forward and build the relationship. Because you did have to have something there in order for them to, like, have a successful relationship moving forward. And I think I think him standing up to the most important people in his life, which are his people, and saying, like, she passed the tradition. Like, if we're going to let other traitors be fine, if they don't get eaten, then we have to uphold this for her too.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Are we ready to rate it?
Sure.
So, Darkness.
I can talk about this book all day long.
Oh, we can keep on going.
No, we're good.
I think The Darkness would be a 4 or a 5, yeah?
Really?
They're killing people. She's an assassin.
Okay, yeah. There's, like, several torture scenes.
Yeah! Like,
yeah!
I mean, he's literally...
She also had to torture her sisters, which is bananas.
And I think it's a mixture of on-page, off-page.
Yeah, it is. Like, there are a couple of torture scenes that Danielle doesn't go into, like, intense detail like some dark romance authors go. But, I mean, it's still enough to give you the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah. Like, him... I mean, I think even making it vague is worse.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and I will say one of the things that, like, I feel was unnecessary that... And probably the only unnecessary part of the book, of this duet, honestly, was where Mary Lynn killed the family.
Yeah.
In Arryn's, like,
Eli household. And, yeah.
Like, he was an 8-year-old little boy. And granted, I think, again, something that Danielle does really, really well is she gives you a very clear picture on what this war looks like, and does not hold anything back on, like, children died and women die and, like, you know, elderly people, like, but, like, damn, you had to kill Eli?
I think that needed to happen because they were the people closest to Laura, and she needed... Not that she's not aware of death and, like, all the things, because, you know, she was traumatized and tortured as a child herself. But I think this was just another step of her realizing, oh my gosh, that all the lies, the mistake, for it to be people that she had gotten close to. So she could feel what the people of Ithacania or whatever it's called feel too for their loss. She needed that.
Dang, that's okay. All right, you win that point. That was a fantastic point.
That's it. I'm done for the day. Yeah. I got the names, almost all the names right. I got the espionage, and now I got this. I'm 3 for 3, baby.
All right, and now we wrap it up.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, The Darkness is like a 4 or a 5. Like, I mean, even their relationship, I feel like while it's not violent, it's still dark because of the betrayal.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You get that too. Yeah. How funny. I've never I never would have considered this like a dark duet, but mm-hmm. I mean, once you take everything into consideration, yeah.
So what do you think? Four? Yeah. Five? Four?
I mean, if we're going to go, I think five. You okay. have it on page, off page. You have like little kids dying. Like, yeah, granted, I feel like the caveat is if you've read our other things that we've rated five on the darkness scale, I feel like you don't have the details that those books do mm-hmm. on page. So just something to consider. Like, if you aren't going to read this book because of the darkness scale, I would still say, like, double check your triggers, but I would still recommend you read it.
Yeah, that's true. She doesn't do the details as well or as deep as the other ones, yeah. but it's still, like, we never actually see Eli die. Yeah, it's just... better. You see the blood and you know he's dead, right? And you
you
make the inferences. Okay, spicy.
Ugh. Like, yeah, one. We'll go with one.
I was going to say zero, but they have sex, so it has to be a one at least.
Yeah. And I think you have like a sex scene in book one and two, maybe mm-hmm. two in book two, and that's it.
And for listeners out there, according to her website, this is her spiciest. One of her spiciest things that she's written, and there's only like two sex scenes.
Maybe, well, are you saying like this series is her spiciest?
I don't remember. It's either the series or this duet.
So this duet, so basically what she ended up doing is this duet was very, very low on the spicy scale. The next duet is probably closer to a 3 on the spicy
side. Oh, nice.
Yeah, she heated it up in the remaining duets. I believe she's doing that for Anna's story too. I could be wrong, but I believe she's doing that for Anna's.
Is that how you say her name? That's not how I say her name.
Yeah, because there's an H.
Yeah, but that's like an OL at the end.
Huh?
Huh? We're talking about his sister, right?
Yeah.
Her name is like A-N-N-H-O-L. I'm pretty sure.
A-H-N-N-A.
Are you sure? Who has the O-L at the end of their name? Okay, never mind.
Well, now I need to know.
That is not.
Because Anna's book is coming out this year, finally. Yeah, A-H-N-N-A. I just went to Danielle's Instagram. Because Anna's book should be coming out.
I do not like that. That is not how I was pronouncing it. And I'm not going to call her Anna because that's stupid.
Okay.
Throwing an H in there does not make it all fantastical.
Okey-doke.
Sorry.
Artichoke. Yeah. So
thank you for clarifying the spiciness. So overall, what are your stars?
5, 10, 1,000. I love. I just
never would have guessed you would have picked 5.
I know. It's a shocker.
Totally shocked.
To everyone, I'm sure.
I would give it 5 stars.
I just I love that you loved it so much because I'm always very nervous, like, when you read something that I love because our tastes are actually fairly different. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we have pretty different tastes when it comes to books. So I was very nervous that this wasn't going to be it for you. So that just makes me so happy. No.
But then also, again, because as a mood reader, my mood could also determine – if I wasn't, like, feeling good or if I wasn't happy and I was reading it, I probably wouldn't, you know, that also, which is why I don't mind changing, like, my ratings and stuff as time goes on because I'm always in different moods. I could absolutely hate something I read, like, 3 years ago and then pick it up again. They'd be like, oh, my God, why did I hate this? You know, I was like, oh, what? Was I mad that day? Like, but no, it hit, like, all the checkboxes. Female main character was strong, independent. She fucked up. There was no miscommunicate. Well, I would not call that a miscommunication.
That was one thing that they started to talk about in book club the other night, and I was gonna butt in and
didn't. Yeah,
I don't feel like this was a miscommunication trope at all. It was legitimately like no communication. And also she thought she destroyed.
So she didn't need to speak about it, yeah. And the not so easily forgiven, the redemption, you know, fit the crime. Like, The only thing I would say that it is missing is obviously more spice. I would say that that would be the, if I had to say anything that was missing from this, it would be that. But even without it, I'm still satisfied and okay with how it was. It didn't take away from what I enjoyed when I was reading it.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree. And that's something that Danielle heard a lot with this duet, and which I think is one of the reasons why she got, like, The Calm Before the Storm has a couple or one really spicy scene, and then the subsequent books are spicier. But, like, I was totally okay without the spice in this because it was just so well written and so plot driven that you just, and like you said, you didn't miss it. All right, readers, where does The Darkness rate with you?
Thank you for joining us on the journey into the shadows of love, where dark romance stories come to light.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Bones of the Story as much as we did. If you did, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Your feedback means the world to us.
And to stay updated on all things dark romance, follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
We'd also love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, ideas, or even your own dark romance stories with us. Drop us a line at bonesofthestory@gmail.com.
Remember, our next tantalizing episode is just around the corner, so keep your hearts open and your senses sharp.
Until then, embrace the darkness and let the stories continue to stir your deepest desires.
This is Misty
and Jen
signing off from Bones of the Story.